down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Good evening. Good place to be. Hope that everybody, you ladies, had a good Mother's Day. How about all you moms that stand up, if you would? You're probably tired, but I know. I thought, I was telling Judy this week, well, the past couple weeks, I've been spending quite a bit of time with my mom because my sister and them's having some sickness issues, and so we've been trying to take care of her, and she's 93. And she, if you don't want nothing told, don't tell her. And she don't forget nothing. And she's pretty sharp. But I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. She's been a good mom. And I just said them first things joking, but she is. She's pretty sharp, and I'm glad I still got her. Glad of every one of you that's here. I know it seemed like it's been a while since I've been up here, but God knows all about that, but I'm glad to be back tonight. Young lady will be singing for us here after a while, and we'll get her up here to sing a couple, three or four, whatever she wants to sing. Hannah, you just be ready after a while, and we'll holler at you, okay? Let's pray for her. So I wonder right now if anybody's got a testimony before we go any further. I do want to say this, not because he's one of our pastors, but I know what he's meant to some of my grandkids and me. But Rob, I'm glad of you. What you did this morning made me more so. It did. I appreciate you. Any prayer requests? I went in this morning, I tell him Greg. I went home today after we left church and got an unpleasant surprise. My neighbor lives right across the road from me. His dad found him dead in bed this morning, Michael Walker. Michael was probably 37, 38 years old. All I can tell you about him, he's a hard-working boy, and he's always been good to me. And I don't know no details or nothing, but His dad found him. I know the last time I talked to him, they was working him a lot of hours, and he couldn't even get a day off. So I don't know no details. But just pray for Mike, or his mom, dad's Mike and Debbie Walker. They live right across the road from me, and I ain't got to talk to them yet. They've had a lot of company sitting. But anyway, just pray for them. That's all I know to say about it. They're good people. But like I say, Michael's been good to me, a hard-working boy, and I'm going to miss him. But anyway, and I still got a brother-in-law at Cleveland Clinic. Supposed to do some more surgery, I think, Tuesday. And the way I hear it, he's going to be up for 5 or 6 weeks. So I don't know. Ever how that turns out, God's in control. Just remember them. That's my prayer request. Anyone else? Okay. Good man, Ethan. You knew that? All right. Anyone else? I'll tell you what. I don't have no certain one to call on to pray. So that's just, Chris, get a song. That's, if you want to, give somebody a hug, shake one another, if you feel doing that away, and then everybody wants to, we'll gather up the front and pray together.
Page 134.
To God be the glory, great things He had done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He had done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He had done.
Page 160.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on. As we tarry there, He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing and the melody that He gave to and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Dirt on my face. I've been out in the yard picking dandelions all day. I burst through the front door when I gathered enough to give to my mom to show her my love. And when I held out my hand, she looked down at me. She said, I'm never seen flowers as beautiful as these.
Now, you can't beat that. That's good. Someone else. It's getting better all the time. I was hoping she'd sing three or four, but that sounded awful good. All right, Rob, I'm going to turn her over to you, buddy. And Eddie Gibson, would you pray for Rob and his message as he comes up?
Daylight outside. We got plenty of time. What, anybody got to go to work tomorrow? What time you got to go to work? 7. Whenever I get there, that's the job I want. That's the job I want. Anybody else? Anybody else want to say something for God? If not, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I was panicking because I forgot to bring my glasses, my reading eyes. And somebody moved the stuff around in the back, so my reserve pair is gone. So I was panicking and freaking out. God is smart, though. He had me put these in Lori's car, and so they were out. He said, just remember the car. And so I went out and got it during when we were shaking hands. And God is good. God, because I can't read this without these reading glasses. And I still can't get the hang of keeping them with me. They're worse than a cell phone. I don't like cell phones. So they don't stay with me all the time either. But glasses, I need them. So chapter 22 of Genesis, if you'll pray for me. Chapter 22 and verse 1 says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood, or split the wood, and for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Just want to take a look for a couple of minutes here at Abraham. Just want to take a look because I think we can see in Abraham here something that we need, something that the church needs. I think we can see something here. If we look at what happened in this story, the Bible says that Abraham, now Abraham was a just man, Abraham was a righteous man. What you might not realize is that Abraham, the Bible says, was a friend of God. Now that's the reputation I want. That's the reputation I would like to have. If God would write another Bible, now I don't think it'll happen because it doesn't mention it here, but you know what? Who knows? Maybe when we all get to heaven, God says, I think I'll do it again. And he writes another one. Here's my question to you and to me. If God was to write another Bible, would my life be worthy of making it in the book? Would my life be worthy of God writing in there something about Rob? How about your life? I would like to have the reputation of he was a friend of God. That's what Abraham was. So he knew what God was. He followed God. He worshiped God. God came to him one day. God came to him right here. The Bible says God came and God spake to Abraham. And you see, God will come to you. God will come to us. God comes to those that need him. God comes to all those that want him. God comes when you're not saved, and God comes when you are saved. The Bible says here that God came and God spake unto Abraham. You see, here's the thing about God, and here's the thing about in your life. God comes in your life when you need him. God comes in your life when life is rough. God comes in our life when we absolutely have nothing else to turn to but only Jesus himself. When we are down and out and destitute, when life is rough and life is hard, when life gets tough and the battle rages, God comes. But here's the thing I like about God. He keeps coming. You know, he came to me one day and he said, Rob, I think it's time for you to join my family. And I said, yes. What he didn't do is say, see you at the end. He didn't say, Rob, I'm glad you got saved. Now, you hope you make it to the end. I hope you'll be there when I take you out of this world. I hope you'll be there when we go into heaven. But he keeps coming in my life. He keeps showing up in the middle of what I'm going through. He keeps showing up to the Christians when the Christians need him. You see, God does it like this. God does it like this. God saves us. And then walks with us. God saves us and then walks with us. And what he did here is he came to Abraham. Abraham was already saved. We don't need to think about Abraham not being saved. Abraham was already saved. So what he does is he comes to Abraham and he comes to where Abraham was and he comes to meet Abraham in the moment. He comes to commune with Abraham. You see, getting saved doesn't mean we get a walk in the park. It doesn't mean that life is a bed of roses. God never said to you and me, get saved and we'll just stroll right on into heaven. Get saved and just life easy go lucky. We'll just walk through and in one day we'll just close our eyes and breathe our last breath and I'll take you out. He didn't say that. As a matter of fact, what Jesus said was, come follow me and you shall be persecuted. You shall be tormented. You shall be teased. But he said, know this, they did it to me before they did it to you. And God was with me. You see, Jesus, the Bible says over and over that Jesus would go to God. He would stop and get himself away from everybody else to pray to get his communion back with God, right with God, right where he needs to be. Jesus knows what it's like to walk through this life as a human that the devil doesn't like. Think about that. When you got saved, when you weren't saved, the devil didn't care a thing about you. Didn't even think about you. But the Bible says that once you and I give our heart to Jesus, the devil hates you. The devil takes note of you. And the devil goes after you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the devil, once we get saved, he will throw everything he's got at you. His fiery darts and all of his tricks and all the traps and all the temptations. They don't come until you're saved. Why? Because whenever you're not saved, you're doing no good for Jesus. and no good against the devil. But when you get saved, you're doing good for Jesus, and you're fighting against the devil, and he doesn't like that. So when we get saved, it opens up the door to the bad times of life. What do you mean? Well, the devil brings it all on you. The devil brings it all against you. But Jesus said, don't worry, church, I'm going to keep coming. When you think I'm not there, I'm going to keep coming. When you feel like I'm not around, I'm going to keep coming. Now, the truth is, Jesus never leaves you. And Jesus never forsakes us. But there are times when we feel like he's not around, like he doesn't listen, like he's not hearing me. There are times David cried, why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you delivering me? It's not that God's not around. It's just that we're in a place that we can't feel him or hear him. But he said, I will be there always and forever. I think about a boy. There was a boy one day. There was a boy, and he got tired of living in Dad's house. He got sick and tired of living in Dad's house. And he said, Dad, I'm going to go away. I'm done with you. I'm going to go into a far country. I'm going to leave you, Father, and I'm going to walk how I want to walk. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to follow my ways. You see, you guys know this boy as the prodigal son. I know this boy as Robbie. You see, the prodigal son got tired of something. He got tired of living in Daddy's house with Daddy's rules. He said, Daddy, your rules are old-fashioned. Your ways are old-fashioned. Your ideals are gone. They're in the past. They're no good. He got tired of living how a father wanted him to live. I didn't say that to God because I grew up in church and I knew God's ways were right and I knew God's ways were true. What I said was, I want the world. I want what the world has to offer. I want to sleep in on Sunday mornings. I want to play football on Sunday afternoon. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to live right. I don't want to do what God says. I like what the world says I can do. So I didn't say, God, I don't want you. I said, world, I want you. Because the devil said, look how good it is. So the Bible says that the son, the prodigal son, he took all that his dad gave him, his share of the inheritance, and he went away. And the Bible says, because just like Al talked about this morning, if you train a child up in the way they should go, if we train the children up in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart. So he's off in his own country. He's off in another place, living in the world, but he's in the world, and he's in the mire and the muck, and he's in all the dirtiness and grime and shame of the world. And the Bible says that he came to himself. He came to himself. And he said, I realize that I have sinned against the heaven and sinned before my father. And if I go back to my father's house, I can get in there. Now, I'm going in as a servant, but he said, I can get back. But here's what the Bible says. Now, I picture this like this. I picture the boy coming back. Now, he's defeated. The devil's beat him down, and he's wore out and tired. He's lost it all, dignity. He's lost purity. He's lost everything about him. He's lost his relationship with his father. And I just see him coming, just walking, you know, head down and shoulders dropped and slumped over, slowly walking. But here's what the Bible says. That the father was looking for him. And here's what I think. I think the father, every chance he was outside, took a chance to look, just to look in the distance, just to see if by chance my boy was coming back. If by chance my son was coming back, if by chance he was right there. And the Bible says that one day, I look at it like this. I think God is looking down, and I think he's looking out over our life. When we're out there in sin, and when we're not out there in sin, when we're in him, but we're walking away from his will. You know what I mean? There's a will for you. There's a will for me. And if we aren't in that will, we're not walking where God wants us to. And I think God doesn't like this. I think he has a big old telescope. Now, I know God sees everything. I know that, right? God don't need a telescope. His eye sees it all. But I picture it like this because I'm weird. I picture God has this big old telescope, and he's out there looking, and he's looking for you, and he's looking for me. He's saying, Rob is not where he should be. Where is he? And he's out there looking. He's out there waiting for me. Is he going? See, here's what we need to do. We need to turn from where we're at. We need to turn from the sin we're in. We need to turn from the disobedience. We need to turn and take a step towards God. In other words, we need to repent. That's what repent means, to turn away from. John said, repent and be baptized. Repent, turn from your wicked way. So when I'm out there in sin, or when I'm out there walking away from God's will, we got to take that turn, take that step. And I think Jesus is watching, just like this father. And the Bible says to you and to me that the son doesn't run. The son's just walking. But when the father sees him afar off, a great way off is what it says. A great way off. The father sees him a great way off. And the Bible says that the father had compassion on him. And that the father ran to him. The father ran to him. You see, Jesus comes, God comes the first time to save you. But he don't stop coming. You see, I was in church one day. I was out of church. Let me go there. I was out of church. I was out of church. I wasn't following God. I decided I had enough of him, and I liked what the world had to offer. But then I would play football on Sunday evenings with my best friend, and that crazy kid would leave a great football game, and he would go to church. Every Sunday afternoon, he'd leave us out, and he would go to church, and I couldn't figure out why. There wasn't having fun at church. I'd been there. It wasn't fun, not like football. One day he said, "Are you going with me?" And one day I said, "Yeah, I'm going with you." Yeah. Don't ask me why, because I didn't want to go, yeah. Right? Because God took my brain out and said, "Now you're just going to do what I want you to do." So I went to church with him, and I sat right back there. I went once or twice and made it through just fine. But I went one time, and I'm sitting the second. He's right there on the end of the pew in the very back, because, you know, sinners want to be in the back and get out quick, right? You know, hit that altar call, you hit the back door. Why? Because God calls you. God's coming. But I'm sitting back there beside my best friend, who he's a Christian and I'm not, but he doesn't know that I'm not. See, here's the thing. I knew how to play church because I grew up in church. I knew when to say amen and I knew when not to say amen. I knew when to raise my hand and I knew when to say something. I knew when not to say something. I knew the game I was playing. But the Bible, or not the Bible, God spoke to me one time and he said, "All right, Rob, it's your time." Now I looked at my friend and I said, "I need to go pray." And his jaw dropped to the floor. I mean, he was froze like a statue because he thought I was saved. See, you don't know the person beside you. Not on the inside. The Bible says, man sees the outside and man judges the outside. You all look real good and pretty, right? Every one of you look good and pretty. I like a good bunch of people. I think you all deserve heaven, but I can't see the inside. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And my inside was dirty as can be. It was filthy like filthy rags. It was like mire and muck. And he said, "Come get saved." And my friend, his jaw, I had to step over his jaw, as a matter of fact, because I almost caught my pants on his teeth, right? But let me tell you what I remember, sitting in the back. I took one. All you got to do is take one step. When you take one step towards Jesus, yeah, he comes running to where you are, yeah, because he keeps on coming. I remember. This is what I remember. This is all I remember. I don't remember this, and I don't remember this. I remember stepping up and then getting up. Why? Because when I took that step, when I turned and went towards, he ran to me and he brought me back into the fold. He brought me into his family. He said, "Rob, it's about time." And he saved me back there and confirmed it right there. And that day forward, I've never looked back. That he keeps coming for those that need him. He keeps coming. I was thinking, he was on the mat. He was with his disciples one day. He was with his disciples teaching and preaching and healing all that had come. And he'd done all the day. He sent them home. And he said, "Disciples, get in the boat and go over there to the other side of the river, the other side of the sea. Go to the other side of the sea. I'll be there in a minute." And I want to think, how did they not think, how's he getting here? We're taking the only boat we got. And he said, "Go over there. How's he going to get there?" I'd have been like, "Jesus, what time should we come back and get you? I mean, how are you getting there?" They didn't, because they just did what he said. So they went on their way. The Bible says he goes up into a mountaintop. You see, he looks for you. The Bible says he's looking down on them. That's what he does in our life. He looks down. He's looking down on them. Now, these are saved people. These are saved people. These are his disciples. The Bible says he's looking down on them. And the storm comes. And they get afraid and scared. And Jesus had compassion. And the Bible says that he went walking toward them on the sea. And he walked till he came where they were. What did he do? He came to them. Why? Because life happens and storms happen. And when they do, and we can't handle it, Jesus can.
And when I can't change it, Jesus can. And when I can't fix it, Jesus can. And when I need Jesus, he's always there. He said, I come to you. So he came down to the boat, walking right beside where they're at. He ends up in the boat and calms the storm, saves their lives, and makes it to the other side. Why? Because God doesn't just come, he keeps on coming, and he comes back over and over again. And that's what he did here in the first verse. He came to Abraham, and he spoke to Abraham, and he met with Abraham. Now, he also, if you look, he said, Abraham. Abraham said, behold, here I am. And if you paid attention as we read, Abraham has that same response. Every time God calls, Abraham says, behold, here I am. And that ought to be what we say as Christians. We ought to say, when I hear the call of God, when I feel the call of God, when I sense the call of God, when he's asking me to do something, when he's asking me to go somewhere, or he's asking me to go talk to somebody, he's asking me to take part in the church, I should say, here I am, God. Here I am, send me. God, here I am, use me. God, here I am, guide me. God, here I am, instruct me. God, here I am, use me for what you need me to be. That was what Abraham said. Notice it was immediate. There was no hesitation. He just said, yes, God. Yes, Lord. Why? Because that's what he did. That's the way Abraham was. Abraham knew God. He knew the Father. He knew the voice. So when God spoke, Abraham answered. The Bible says, Jesus says, my sheep know me, and my sheep hear me, and my sheep know my voice. Now, they ask me sometimes back in the class, so how do you know God is talking? I'm going to give you a little litmus test. In case you're ever wondering if it's God talking to you, okay? In case you're ever wondering. If it's going to give God praise and glory and honor, it ain't the devil. And if it ain't going to give no glory or no praise or no honor, it ain't Lord. It ain't God. It ain't Jesus, all right? If it's not going to lift Jesus up, then it's the devil. If it's lifting Jesus up, it ain't the devil. So if God's asking you to go do something that's going to promote him, know this. The devil ain't asking you to go promote Jesus nowhere, no way, no how, to anybody. So when he says to me, I'm seeing that person walk down the street, you know, that person that nobody looks and nobody likes and, you know, kind of dirty, kind of filthy, or maybe They don't dress like me. Maybe they don't dress like us. Maybe they don't look like us. Maybe they got, you know, tattoos on them. I don't got tattoos on me. Maybe they got long hair. Boy, I'd like to have enough hair to have long hair, though. Just saying. I wish I had enough to have long hair. Right, Ron? I mean, I'd either have long hair, my preference, long hair or Ron's hair. That's my preference. Lori says, no, not yet. God's working on that, though. God's working on that. So when God says to me, you know, that person's dirty, or that person's filthy, or that person looks mean, or that person looks like he's really not nice. You're afraid of him. God says, go talk to him about me. It ain't the devil telling me to go talk about Jesus. It ain't the devil telling me to go promote Jesus. It is God. It's God telling me. So we should say, like Abraham, we should say, behold, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. Tell me what you want me to do. Notice what I like is Abraham doesn't argue with God. He doesn't try to compromise with God. God, I'll go talk for you, but not if they look like they're in a gang. I'll go talk for you, but not if they look like they live on the street. I'll go talk for you, but not if it's up in front of my church. I'll go talk for you if. I'll go do your will, but. Abraham says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here am I. And I was thinking about it like this. Abraham just said, yes, Lord, and then waited for the instruction. You know, there's a saying we used to say, you know, if somebody says jump, ask how high, right? That's how much power they have. Well, they're so important. If they say jump, you say how high. Well, I think for Jesus, we don't ask how high. I think when he says jump, we get off the ground before he finishes the word jump. Let him work on the altitude. You just take off jumping and let him pick you up and get you as high as you need to go. When Jesus says do it, just take off and do it. Just go and say, now tell me. He says, go that way. All right, God, we're going this way. Tell me what you want me to do. He says, go that way. Then say, yes, Lord, and go this way. Tell me what you want me to do. Lead me, Jesus. Guide me, Jesus. Show me the steps you want me to take, Jesus. You know, a lot of people say it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. You ever heard that? Now, I've done that before, and it don't always work. So I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it because permission isn't always granted, even though you've already done it. You just get the punishment. So I don't recommend it. But it's not. It's not better to ask forgiveness than permission. It's better to obey than to not obey. The Bible says, God says, I would rather to have obedience than to have sacrifice. I would rather have someone say yes and go do it than to not go do it. And a lot of times, you see, God wants to bless you and me as his children. He wants to bless us as his kids. But the blessing comes in the obedience. The blessing comes in the act of worship. The blessing comes in the step of faith. James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. When we get out and do, God says, now I can work with that. You see, if I want to get to Charleston, what do I got to do? I've got to go get in my car, and I'm going to get there, right? Will my car just start and go by itself? No. I've got to get it started, turn the door, and get it moving. You can't steer a car that ain't moving. God can't steer a Christian that's just sitting there. God can't steer a Christian that's doing nothing. But listen, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. The Bible tells us that when you get in this thing, you're going to be in the middle of the fire. You're going to be in the middle of the battle. But listen, when that happens, God is coming for you. When that happens, God's going to be there. You know, it's like this. When you get in Jesus, when you get in the kingdom, when you get in the family, the war is always raging somewhere. The battle's always looming somewhere. The fight is always coming. You might not be in the middle of anything right now, but tomorrow you may get it. We may wake up tomorrow and be in the worst storm we ever had. We may wake up tomorrow and have the worst day. There's a cartoon, and y'all probably don't like it or don't know it, SpongeBob. One of them was about the best day ever, right? Best day ever. Do you remember the best day ever in your life? Well, we're in church, so what's that going to be? It's going to be what it really should be, the day that we met Jesus, the day that we gave our heart to Jesus. Everything was good, and everything was fine, and the birds sang just right, and everybody sang just right that day, Joy, except me, right? Except me. I can't sing. Chris handed me this mic, and I said, I was going to go up there and sing, but this is the talking mic, so Chris didn't even want me to sing, so I'm fine with that. And you should be too. But see, the best day ever is the day we got saved. The best day ever doesn't always last because life happens. But God always says, I will be there with you. I'll be there for you. And if you'll obey me, the blessing will come in the obedience, in the act of faith, in the act of worship. And just ask Saul, King Saul. He didn't ask to be king. We made him king. We asked him to be king and said, we vote you. We nominate and vote. So the Bible says that early in his life, early in his reign, that he was going to go fight a battle. He was going to go fight a battle. And the Bible says that Samuel told him, he said, you're going to fight this fight, but I want you first to wait for me to do the sacrifice. I want you to wait for me. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I waited on the Lord and he heard my cry. I waited on the Lord and he heard my prayer. I waited on the Lord and behold, I mounted on wings as eagles. I had the strength of a young person. He said, wait on me. And Saul got tired and got nervous and got scared and got anxious because Samuel hadn't got there yet. So the Bible says Saul did the sacrifice himself. Soon as he got done, Samuel steps out of the bushes. He says, Saul, what are you doing? Saul tried to make excuses, but listen, there's no excuse for disobedience. There's no excuse for sin. It just happened. You just did it. I just did it. We did it on our own. So Samuel said, you know what? God saw your sin. I now have chosen somebody else. I chose a man who's after my own heart already. But Saul repents, and God works with him some more. But a little bit later in his life, he goes down to fight, and Samuel says to him, I want you to go. Samuel says it like this. Do you remember what the Amalekites did to the children of Israel? Saul says, yes, I do. God told me to tell you to go destroy all of them. Go destroy everything about them. Destroy man and woman and boy and girl and baby and cows and horses and donkeys and pigs and fish and ducks and whatever. If it breathes, stop it. Destroy it all. But they didn't. Saul kept King Agag and all of the good stuff. All of the good stuff. See, we have to do God's will, God's way. We have to do what God says, how God says to do it. Because when Samuel came, he said, did you do what I told you, what God said to do? And Saul said, yes, I did. He said, then what's the sound of those sheep I hear? He said, well, but let me tell you what we did. Now, this is called backtracking and backpedaling, right? I sin, now let me make it right, all right? Let me reason this thing out for you. I kept the good to sacrifice to God. I kept the good to sacrifice to God. First off, no, you didn't. No, you didn't, because God knows that. Second off, good try. But what you did is disobeyed. So the Bible says right there in that moment, Samuel said, you disobeyed again. God now rent your kingdom. This is what he said. He said God was going to bless your kingdom to be forever, to reign forever. In other words, King Saul's children were going to reign, and his children's children were going to reign, and those children's children would reign, and forever your king, your family would have the reign. But not now. He said, I just rent your kingdom in half, and it's gone from you. Blessing comes whenever we obey. Blessing comes in the obedience. It's not in what we want to do. It's not in what we tell people we're going to do. It's not in the excuses we make to God. It's when we walk by faith. Blessings happen when we step. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. That's what the Bible says. That's where the blessings are. When we live by faith and we just obey. Not that hard to do. God never has you and me to do anything. What he says is, I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable service. Not unreasonable, but your reasonable service. God said, I'll never ask you to do something unreasonable. I never will. I'm not going to ask you to go out and lift the building up because you can't do it. I'm not going to ask you to go save the world because you can't do it. I'm just going to ask you to do what I know you can do and what I'm going to help you do. But he said, the just will live by faith, and the obedience comes in the obedience. The blessing comes in the obedience. That's where we miss it a lot, because we don't obey. And let me tell you this, the bigger the blessing comes, the sooner we obey. We obey quickly, God's blessings are bigger. We wait. See, God says to you or to me, I want you to testify. Now, if I stand up and testify right then, the blessing is going to be huge. But what's going to happen if I don't is somebody else is going to say a little bit of my testimony that I was going to say, right? And then somebody else, they're going to say another part of my testimony that I'm going to say. And then somebody else, and then another song is going to happen. And if I even get around to standing up, I ain't got much left to say, so I ain't going to get the blessing. If I stand up when God says stand up, if I speak when God says speak, then the blessing happens. It's bigger, it's better, and it's all mine, it's all yours, and that's what God wants to do. So, if we look at verse 2, the Bible says in verse 2 that he said, take thy son, thine only son. You see, God, notice what he said, take thy son, thine only son. And I thought, why did he repeat it? He wanted Abraham to know that he knew exactly what he was asking. He wanted Abraham to know that God knew exactly what God was asking Abraham to do. You see, Abraham only had one child, one son. That's all he had. That was the son of the promise. And God said to him, I want you to take that son, and I want you to go sacrifice him to me. I want you to know, though, that I know that that's your only son. You see, God knows all about you, and God knows all about me, and God knows all about Abraham. And he knew that he loved Isaac dearly, and that everything about him loved Isaac with his wholeness. And that God asking him to do this, that God knew. He said, I know it's your only son that you love because I created you. He said, but I'm asking you to do that. He knows all about you when you're walking through this life. He knows all about you when you're going through the struggle. You see, the Bible says that God knows everything. Think about this. The Bible says, and I think it's Psalms, that he numbered the stars. God numbered. Now, I count. Did y'all count how many we had up here this morning? Took me two times, all right? Apparently, I can't count, but it took me two times. So I was counting. I got to 27, all right? Now, think about this. Look into the night sky right down here, and can you count the number of stars in there, right? Can you? No, we can't. But the Bible says that God numbered them. Does anybody know how many stars there are? Billion? Trillion? Gazillion? How many? A bunch. Right. And the Bible says that God knows the number of the stars. And here's the thing. They say that, here's something I never thought about, but until this week. The Bible, people say that the universe is still expanding. Stars are still forming. And I thought, well, I can go with that. Why? Because God just said, let there be. Let there be light. Let there be stars. He never said stop. He just said let there be. So they're still going. But here's the thing about God. He knows how many there are. And when 14 more are added one day, God says, all right, that makes 1,419 and 14. Right? He knows it. And the Bible says this too, that he knows them by name. Yeah. Did you know that? God knows all 14 billion gazillion stars by name. And he knows you by name. That's the good thing. He knows you by name. He knows 6.5 or 7 billion people by name. But he knows you by name. And he knows me by name. And he knows the number of hairs on our head, the Bible says. And I'm making it easier on him and getting him down to where you're going to have to count. But he says, I know the number of hairs on your head. I know the thoughts. Now listen to this. He said, I know your thoughts afar off. And I thought for a minute, he knows my thoughts, but he's afar off. No. Where is God? He's right here. He's in here. He's not far away. What that says, he knows my thoughts before I think them. Ouch. Maybe I need to check my thoughts more often than we think. Check our thoughts. Because God knows. Before we even think him, God knows we're going to. You see, I think it like this. There's two places. The two places that thoughts come from, right? Thoughts come from God or thoughts come from the devil. Thoughts come from God or thoughts come from the devil. Then we do whatever we want to with them, right? But God knows that, hey, Rob's going to have a thought given him by the devil in 5, 4, 3, 2, pow. What's he going to do with it? God knows him before I even think it. Psalms 139 says he knows your words before you speak them. He knows everything about you. So he knew that Abraham loved Isaac. And what he was really saying is, what is your priority? Abraham, what's your priority? Am I your priority? Am I the top of your priority list? Do I even make the list? All right, and I had some questions that he asked, that in my mind, that he asked the Abraham, that he asked the church today, right? So let's look at these questions. They're just about priorities, real quick. So he asked Abraham. He said, Abraham, do I come before your house? Church, does he come before your house? You know, that building we live in, right? Abraham, do I come before your land and your cattle and your everything that you get for your livelihood? Church, do I come before your job? Do I come before your job? Abraham, do I come before your chariots? You know, Abraham was wealthy. And I know I'm ignorant. Go with me for a minute. I'm ignorant. God, I just bought this brand new chariot. It's the Chariot XL 1000. It's got chrome wheels, chrome bumpers. Has these things sticking out that tears other chariots up. God says, do I come before your chariot? Church, does he come before our car? Before our cars. Abraham, do I come before your possessions? Church, do I come before your toys? Your boats, campers, cycles, and how about your TV? You see, that was my problem. I'm going to tell you, that was my problem. I could tell you what happened in the last 3 years on Survivor, in the last 3 years on Criminal Minds, and I could tell you what happened in the last 3 years on all kinds of ignorant shows, but I couldn't tell you what happened on any Christian show, any preaching show, any Christian TV singing show. I couldn't tell you what happened in his book very often because I didn't study it like I should. I couldn't tell you much about Jesus, but I could tell you about my TV because I didn't miss it. Rob, do I come before your TV? And I had to say, no, you didn't, God. Mm-mm. You didn't come before my TV. No. I know what goes on and when it goes on. Yeah. But God didn't come before that. So I had to tell him no. He said, we need to fix that. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. One more. Abraham, do I come before your family? Do I come before your one and only son of the promise that you love with everything about you more than the life itself? Church, does God come before your family? Do I make your list? That's what he was asking Abraham. Do I make your list? God knew the gravity of what he was requesting. God knew what it meant. It knew he was going to take his son, his one and only. But where's my responsibility? Where's my priority? God wants to be number one. God needs to be number one. God said, you make me number one. If you don't make me number one, and we've got issues and we've got problems. He said, you should have no other gods before me. You should put nothing before me. I should be first and foremost above all. And that's what he was asking Abraham when he said, hey, take your son and go up to Moriah. Take your son and go up to the place and kill him. Take your son and go sacrifice him. What's your priority, Abraham? I know you love me, but how much? Then look, verse 3 says, early in the morning, he went. Early in the morning, he went. He got to it. Abraham got up and got to it. You see, he went to do God's will. When God spoke it, Abraham did it. When God said it, Abraham believed it. When God said do it, Abraham obeyed. So the Bible says he got up and he went and he took his two servants, his two young men and his boy. And it says they went. He accepted. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it now. Don't put off till tomorrow what we can do today. You see, we've got now and now only. I might die on the way home. I might die on the way home. I've got to. Jesus said it like this when his mom and dad left him in Jerusalem. And they came back about a day later. And they said, what are you doing, Jesus? He said, well, I'm talking with the doctors and the lawyers. I'm talking with the people. I'm teaching them about God. I must be about my Father's business. The Bible says that what we need to do is go be about our Father's business. It's not about me and it's not about you. We didn't get saved to go to church. We didn't get saved to go to church. We got saved to go to the world. You know, I think it was James said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow. You see, I'm a bad procrastinator. I put the pro in procrastinator. Somebody told me one time about a shirt that I really need. It says, procrastinators unite tomorrow. Tomorrow. Don't worry, not too soon. We'll get there tomorrow, right? Don't put it off. Get about our Father's business. Get about spreading His word. Get about talking to my loved ones. Get about talking to my friends. Get about witnessing to the lost. Get about witnessing. You know, I was talking with Kevin Jennings, Pastor Kevin Jennings. He works with me, and he was on a business trip just about 2 weeks ago. And he said, you know, Rob, I felt like I should just tell people. He said, so I told my waitress when she came to me about Jesus. And I told my waiter the next day about Jesus. And I told the clerk behind the counter about Jesus. And I took the guy at the front desk of the hotel about Jesus. He said, I just felt like that's what we ought to feel like, is that we should just go now and tell people about Jesus. Why? Because we are ambassadors, is what Paul says. An ambassador to this country, to this world, for Jesus. You see, we live in a world that we don't belong to. We live in a world we don't belong to. We are in it, not of it. We're pilgrims passing through. We're strangers in this land. Our home lies on the other side. But we need to take as many as we can. Jesus said, go ye now and go tell the world. Go preach to all the nations. Yeah, what's the nations? Who you're talking to. Even if you don't know them, that's who we need to tell. Why? Because we are ambassadors. Ambassadors represent somebody. So what Jesus is asking me to do and what Jesus is asking you to do is to go represent him. And I thought, and this might be not a word. It's probably not. But I thought, you can't be an ambassador for another country and stay here. You know, president don't appoint you as ambassador. Say, now, make sure you got your iPhone. Make sure you got your iPad. Make sure you got your computer. Make sure you got the other country's Skype, whatever. Conference call, because you're going to have to deal with them. No, he says, you're ambassador to that country. Get up and go over there and be the United States to them. Jesus says to you and me, go into the world. You see, you can't, I don't know if this is a word, you can't ambass if you're over here for the United States. Is that a word? I don't know. You can't ambass for the United States over there if you're over here. We can't ambass for Jesus unless we go do it. And that's what he said to us. Just go do it. Just take, have faith. And the Bible says in verse 3 that he knew he had to go do it. And he got prepared. He took the wood. He took the fire. He took the sacrifice. He took the knife. And he prepared himself. He made preparation to do what God asked him to do. Now that's what we need to do. We need to prepare to go out there and tell the world about the Jesus that we meet with in here. We need to prepare ourselves to go out there with the gospel, the good news, to get them in here so we can say, have you met the man that went there? Let me tell you about him. How do I prepare myself? It's simple. I get in God's word. I get in God's church. I get in God's prayer. I get in God's spirit. And I get myself prepared. And I get Jesus in me. And I get to know as much Jesus as I can. Paul said that I might know him more. That's what it's about, knowing him more. He said, when you get me in you, you'll go in my power, not your power. He said it like this. Go in the power of the Lord. Go in the power of the Lord. The power that works in you. That's what he said. Prepare. Get in me. Get me in you. He said, go in my power. That's what he said in verse 3. Now, I think we're... No, can't say that. I think we're close to being done. All right? Verse 4. Look at what verse... I like verse 4. Verse 4 says, then on the third day. On the third day. Man, there's something about the third day, ain't there? You know what I mean? There's something about that third day. The Bible says that on the third day, after walking 2 days on that third day, Abraham looked up and God said, right there's the mountain. That's the top right there that I need you to go. When you get to the top, we're going to get things done. What did that represent? That mountain top on that third day, what he saw was deliverance. He saw provision. He saw blessings. He saw what God had to offer. He saw that God knew if he could get to that mountaintop. Sometimes we got to climb the mountain to get to the blessing. Sometimes we got to get to the mountaintop to get the promise of God. He had to get all the way to the top because that's where God's will was. That's where God was waiting for him. And if he would get to the top on that third day, what he saw was the pronouncing, the announcing of the blessing he would get. The blessing he would get would be that your son, your seed is going to be more than the sands of the seashore. More than the stars in the sky. But he had to get to the... But on that third day, the third day when he looked up, he saw that place. The Bible says one day there was a man called by God to go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh and tell him to repent. He said, I ain't going. I ain't going. You know, very few people blatantly disobey God. You know, usually it's just subtly we do it. You know, maybe God won't catch me not doing that. You know, maybe he won't realize... He won't realize I didn't quite do what he said. Jonah said, forget that. I'm going to Tarshish where I got some folks I like. Right? The Bible says no. No, no, no. God caused the storm, told the sailors, throw him overboard. But at that time, God had prepared a fish. God has prepared for you what you need when you get there. You see, when God asks you to go do something, he don't ask you to do it on your own. He's there working and has the preparations ready. He's got waiting for you what you need there. He's got in the situation himself already. So when we get there, we're just joining him. We're just joining in the fight. We're joining in the battle. We're going to get the blessings, but he's already there. So the Bible says he threw Jonah, the fish swallowed him in day one. The fish kept him in his belly on day two. But on that third day, deliverance came to Nineveh. Bible says Jesus said, spit him out. He did. God said, now go to Nineveh and tell them to repent. He did, and the whole city got repentance, deliverance, the promise, salvation, the third day. One day. One day they put a man in a tomb. They just put him in a tomb. Now they wrapped him up, wrapped him tight. Wrapped him tight in the dead clothes, in the dead linen. Put the napkin over his face, laid him in the tomb, rolled the stone in front of it, sealed it off. I think the devil said, we got him, we got him, we got him, we won, we're victorious, we're done, we've got this world, it's ours now. Jesus is dead, Jesus is dead. Day one of his death, God says three. I think the devil said, what? They wait the next day. Next day, sun comes up. Jesus don't come up. I think the devil says, we got him, boys. We got him. He's still in that grave. He's dead. Day two, crack the champagne open. We're going to have a celebration. Day two, God says, three, two. The devil says, what? I think day three comes. The devil says, all right, day three, let's go check him out. God says, three, two, one. The Bible tells me he knew that Jesus got up out of that grave, got up out of death, said, devil, you thought you had it, but you don't have it because of day three. That third day, he said, I've overcame death, I've overcame sin, I've overcame hell, I overcame the grave. Now give me those keys. God said that I shook the earth and the stone rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, but that I could see in that he wasn't there. On that third day, we got our promise. On that third day, we got our deliverance. On that third day, we got our salvation. On that third day, we got our blessing. So there's something good about the third day. The third day is a good day. It's a good day. Look down in verse 5. Look in verse 5. God said, all right, sacrifice him. God said, sacrifice him. Abraham said, okay, here we go. But listen to what he said to his boys. He said, boys, you wait right here with the ass. I'm going to take my son, and we're going to go up to that mountaintop, and we're going to worship, and we're going to come back. And I thought, wait a minute, that's not what God said. God said, go to that mountaintop and sacrifice him. But you know what? I think maybe, possibly, that Abraham knew that he served a God, Psalm 84, because it says it like this. The Lord God is the sun. The Lord God is the shield. And the Lord God gives grace. And the Lord God gives glory. But best of all, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So when you walk upright with Jesus, the Bible says he won't hold back good from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Every good gift is from God. And I think maybe Abraham knew that he thought, I think it would be good for my son to come back alive. And I don't know about you all. I think that's a good plan. Or maybe he knew about the God of Matthew 7, that says it like this. If ye, being evil children, evil people, know how to give good gifts to your, and you are, we are evil, according to the Bible. We don't think so. Did the pastor just call me evil? Yeah, I think we did. Forgive me for it. That's the truth. We are an evil person, an evil generation. We have an evil nature because Adam took the bite. Then we got old granddaddy Adam's spirit in us and nature. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? How about way more? Higher more? Much higher are my ways than yours. Much higher are my thoughts than yours. How much more? How about this? How about far above? Exceedingly above, abundantly above. How much more? God knows way more about giving good gifts. I think maybe Abraham knew that a good gift would be my son's life coming back. Maybe he just knew he served the God of Matthew 7. Or how about the God of Matthew 37, where he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. I think Abraham delighted and proved it that he followed God. You know, this wasn't the first time that God told Abraham to do something, and he in blind faith did it. Now, you might say blind faith. I say God's faith. I say godly faith. I say strong faith. Because God didn't tell him. Notice God didn't tell him where he was going. He said, you're going to the land of Moriah, but you're going to a mountain that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you later when you get there. You know, when his name was Abram, God said to Abram, he said, Abram, I want you to get up. You're wealthy in your land. You're set in your land. You have been in your land. You're secure in your land, but you're done in your land. I want you to get up, uproot, take your family, all your servants, all your cattle, everything, and leave the land of your father and go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham, all right, let's go. Let's roll. Uprooted and went. That's what Abraham did. That's the faith that Abraham had. That's what we need. So this wasn't Abraham's first go-around with obeying God just at the first word. Maybe he just said, I know God loves me, but I like what he said. God said, go sacrifice. Abraham said, we're going to go worship. We're going to go worship God. So I think he looked at those boys and he said, boys, listen to me. If you, in a little bit after we get up there, if you hear some hollering and some shouting going on, don't worry, we're okay. We're just praising the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord. Boys, if you see some dancing going on, don't worry about it. We're not crazy. We might look like it, but we're not crazy. We're just worshiping the God because he's going to do some good things. He said, boys, if you look up there and you see some arms waving around, if they're just doing all this, don't you think what we're calling for you to come? We're just praising the Lord. He said, boys, if you look up and you see some hankies waving back and forth, don't worry about us. We're not surrendering to nobody but Jesus. We're just up there worshiping God. And what God said was, when you worship me and you honor me and you praise me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And Abraham knew that God would give him Isaac back in faith. In faith. In faith. I'm just about done. Just about done. Now in verse 8. Verse 8 says this. Well, let's go back to verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, Father, and he said, here am I. He said, behold, we got fire. We got wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Hey, I think Abraham said it like this. He's coming. He's coming. You just wait. He ain't here yet, but he's coming. He's not on the scene yet in life, but he's coming. He's not here in person, but that lamb will be here because God said, I will supply a lamb. He said, I will die for, I will deliver my people. I will send the lamb that is perfect, spotless, without blemish. But I think if you look, Abraham said to him, look down at verse 8. He said, my son, God will provide a lamb. Well, let me read that right because it's important. God will provide himself a lamb. Listen to what he didn't say. He didn't say God will provide a lamb for himself. But rather God will provide himself a lamb. He said, son, there's a lamb coming later that is perfect, without spot, without blemish. The Bible says that in Jesus' life, he committed no sin. Never once had a bad thought. Never once had dishonesty in his mouth, dishonesty in his lips. Never once acted against God. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for me so that I could become the righteousness of God in him. He said, son, there's no lamb that we got, but God's sending the one lamb that's going to save us all and get us to glory. He said, he ain't here yet, but he's coming. He said, son, he's going to provide. He's going to provide. So you look at the face of Abraham. Bible says that he took Isaac and he laid him. He built the altar. He had the fire. He bound his son, laid him down, took the knife. God said, that's all I want. That's all I want. Faith and obedience. That's all I'm asking. Church, what about us? Faith and obedience. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. He will provide. God will provide like this. If you need Jesus, get him. If you need God, get him. If you're lost tonight, get him. If you're saved tonight, but you need him, get him. You need strength, get him. You need encouragement, get him. You need help, get him. You need guidance. Get him. Whatever you need, get him. Church, do you need him? As we stand and sing.
The test of one's faith is hard to endure, but Abraham's faith was so strong. God said to offer his greatest love, sweet child of promise, his Son. God has provided a lamb. Don't bring down your knife, Abraham. So thankful you'll be, your son can go. God has provided a lamb. We all have sinned. The debt must be paid. God will that justice be done. Unworthy I am. He could not.
Yeah.